Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All you beautiful people say, hey, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Crucial one at Luton this weekend. And Blue Cards, it's Friday night. The Fair by Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, everybody, to your Friday at the Football Ramble.
Get your keys out for the lads. They're in the pocket.
Well, and we're going to mention keys later.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Your key to sports.
That's right.
Is it your key to sports we're going to mention?
Who? Richard Keys, Richard. Absolutely we are. Absolutely we are, Pete Donaldson.
Piano keys?
Uh-huh.
Could be.
Any love for that?
You're the only one here who can play the piano.
I really can't.
Can you not?
No.
Why'd you buy so many then?
Because I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Down King's Cross, was that playing on the
man who upset the Communist Party of China?
Was that just someone who looks like you playing the piano? Playing Greensleeves.
He was waving a Taiwan...
beautiful rendition of Greensleeves.
He was waving a Taiwan flag this week.
While playing the piano?
While playing the piano. I think he might be a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, also, China, don't get annoyed about that. It's something in London.
Hang on. He's not the idiot here. He's just playing the piano, entertaining the masses.
He's a bit of an idiot as well.
In that particular incident, which lots of people probably are unaware of who are listening right now.
You've seen my party cards. I am a member of the Communist Party of China.
Yes, and there are people at the door who want to have a word with you. So let's get this done very, very quickly before they interrupt. By the way, if you want more bollocks, on this week's Patreon exclusive Ramble Uncut, we get an update on Pascal Chimbonda and how he's doing at Skelmsdale. We reminisced about some of the deepest goal nets in football, and Pete told us some facts that he thought
about the
none
South
of
China
us would
sea.
Know.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble for Pete's party political broadcasts and access to the Football Ramble Discord. You don't want to miss out, trust me.
I mean, I'm very, very passionate about deep goal nets. I don't think they're deep enough and they should be deeper.
Oh, you like the deep ones?
Oh, yeah. Because it just reminds me of kind of... For
USA 94.
I don't want to rehash the conversation you guys had, but yeah, 94 would be when they were at their deepest in my view. Yeah.
Have they ever been deeper than that?
I don't think they have.
Like, for just a joke.
No. Some of them have been so shallow in the past, like the Southampton one.
We spoke about that.
Where they
denied Mark Hughes a legitimate goal.
Exactly.
Stinking. Yeah.
All right, then. Let's talk about some real football chat. The Nations League draw happened last night.
Yeah, and I did fight really hard. Listeners, I fought really
hard. How did this end up at the start of the running order? Because there was a bit of a kerfuffle that made me laugh on the WhatsApp group. Yeah. And it somehow found its way to the top of the running order.
Because whatever Marcus says happens, basically.
Well, that's not quite true. You're still here, for example.
I fought the good fight.
Good on you, Luke.
But I think Marcus has campaigned with a regime of fear over the production staff for quite some time now. And they're too frightened to put it lower down the running order. So let's get it over with.
Look, you say frightened, I say convinced.
It's like a vaccination at the doctors. Let's get it done.
Let's get it done.
Okay.
And there will be a little prick.
So all you anti-vaxxers, do let me convince you. England are in with Ireland, Finland and Greece.
Oh, England playing Ireland at 5 p.m. on a Saturday or something. That will be a quiet night at the library.
Yeah, before that happens, sorry, Ireland.
Yeah.
So obviously England are in the second tier of the UEFA Nations League. I fancy England to do a Nottingham Forest late 70s.
Is
promoted, next Nations League, win.
Yeah, I like that. That's the only place in football you're really going to see that kind of thing happening now.
I think so.
Yeah. What went so wrong in the last campaign, Marcus? What went wrong?
Are you out of your mind? Asking
what
him
went
that.
Wrong?
It weren't good enough, Peter. Weren't good enough.
A packed show today.
You see how easily it is.
I know, he's so
people.
Influenced. Yeah, he's so influenced.
Oh, Peter, we'll have a chat after because there's some people here are still unbelievers. Mm. Wales have got Iceland, Montenegro, and Turkey. Nice to see Wales versus Turkey again, I think.
It is.
They know each other well.
The big one for me is...
Northern Ireland, Luxembourg, Bulgaria and Belarus.
The big one for me is Scotland.
Well, Scotland are in the top tier.
Exactly.
And I think it's really good that Scotland are in the top tier because obviously England aren't. We want Britain to be represented in the top tier. So again, Scotland, you've got Britain's hopes resting on your shoulders.
You're holding on your shoulders, exactly. And you've got Croatia, exactly. Portugal and Poland, so it's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy, but I think it could be worse.
Could be. I can always be worse. Marcus, one thing this show has taught everyone is that things can always be worse.
What about that? No, fine. Nations League, can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for it.
Me neither. When is it?
It's after the Euros, so we'll get out of the way and then we're straight into it.
Yeah, sorry guys, but the Euros, it's a box we just have to tick.
It's annoying that we have a summer and a European Championships in between now and the UEFA Nations
and
League.
Good, so. Hopefully we better convince good old Gareth to stick around for the big one.
Are you going to hibernate until it starts?
I might do.
I wish he would.
I'll go over to Finland, check out our opposition and a bit of hibernation.
Do some scouting.
Yeah.
You see. Elsewhere in football admin, IFAB, or iFabulous, will introduce blue cards, though not in top-level competitions. They're gonna trial this, I think, in the Men's and Women's FA Cup next season.
Yeah, there's been... And do you want to explain to people quickly what it actually means?
Not really, no.
Okay, yeah. It's basically that people will... For certain offences, people will be removed from the field of play for 10 minutes. Mm. So, for example, dissent, cynical fouls on the break.
We're into sin bins.
Those kind of decisions where... It feels too serious to be a yellow, but not quite serious enough to be a red, like
so
a breakaway
the
challenge.
The example that has been used was Saka and Chiellini in the Euros final, where he just grabs him by the shirt and pulls him back.
Good one.
And I mean, he's so cynical, but
it's not.
So is that any professional foul? Is this going to be?
No, because some of them will be reds, won't they?
Yeah, so some professional
But the ones
fouls.
That would usually be... Do we really give professional fouls?
Let's talk Dogzo.
If you want.
Dogzo, denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Right.
Will be a red, won't it, still?
Yeah, but we never give reds for just on the break, kind of. Just
exactly. Yeah. The moment they're yellow, hence the blue card.
I'm on board. I don't think it needs a blue card.
I don't think it does either.
Why do you need another card?
Well, are you on board when I say that apparently if you get like a yellow card, then a blue card, or other way around, then you're off? So they're changing the combinations, and that's what makes me a little bit worried.
I know what you mean.
So it is kind of a yellow.
Yeah.
It's really a different... First of all, it should just be an orange card, because everyone understands that.
Too red.
Too similar to red.
It depends what brand of orange you use. You can't tell me like a can of Fanta looks red.
to a
no, but
well,
from
I think
a dis-
I think you've also got to think about accessibility features, the colourblind, etc.
Oh, fine, okay, fair enough.
I just so it should be maybe a tartan card.
Mm. Yeah.
Or I'll be up for that.
Or a card that says no-y.
Yeah, just a white, big white card, like a charity check.
Yeah,
yeah.
It just says naughty boy, naughty girl.
You've been proper wrong.
We could have the card sponsored. It could be a Burberry card.
Could be a Burberry card. Instantly recognisable the world over.
Think of the money. Yeah,
exactly. Think of the money.
Get it sponsored.
There. Could be a pop card.
It's worth pointing out just before we move on.
It's a Sports Direct card.
It's massive. And you get a free mug with it. When this has been trialled at grassroots football. I mean, I know a couple of grassroots referees, and they've been using this for some time.
We get a sin bin every match because the men of Essex are hurting,
and the sins they commit.
And the
really,
sins,
sin
bins, avarice.
Yeah, are you referring
lust.
To a jail as sin bin? Now?
Yeah,
but at grassroots level, the referees seem to like it.
They do. It's been very. I only know two grassroots referees,
yeah.
And both of them have said it's worked actually pretty well for them.
Which is interesting because it's the only argument I've heard for it, really. But it is coming from the mouths of referees.
They have to sit. The great thing is they have to sit. The players will have to sit in the technical area.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
Looking well tempered, like really angry.
Yeah. I just can't wait to see that. I'm kind of all for it because I'm generally. Four things that make football more entertaining, but I do kind of feel the same way. On the other hand, I do feel the same way as Ange Postecoglou does when he says, why do they keep needing to interfere?
Yeah.
If you strip a lot of this stuff back,
yep.
The game would
just
probably still be fine.
Just apply the rules correctly.
Yeah.
Mike Dean's against it.
Is he?
Probably because he'll never be able to dish one out.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Well, the debate will rage on, but we will see it soon enough in this very country.
Yeah.
Not the top table, presumably.
Not just yet.
Well, FA Cup. Now, Peter.
Yes.
Last night, I was obviously very intrigued and interested in the Nations League. Something else caught your eye in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
The big match, Al Hilal versus Al Nassr. We should say that Mitro's men beat Ronaldo's boys in a friendly. But the Riyadh season trophy was presented to Al Nassr ahead of the game by...
The Undertaker. My Undertaker.
Mean Mark Calloway.
Is that his name?
That's his. Well, that was his character in WCW.
You don't like him, do you?
Mean Mark.
You don't like him, do you?
He's a dick.
He never seems to age.
Well, yeah, he's kind of like, he's got that kind of wrestler's chest, doesn't he? Where the pectoral muscles have started separating.
Right, okay.
And they haven't seen each other for some time.
Right.
It's actually disturbing. He did look very iconic, and you forget how kind of, it's nice to see... Undertaker back.
He's but very think, visually arresting, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, like a gigantic man. And I think that me and Mark from WrestleMe have been following the Mean Mark Calloway podcast for a little while.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a podcast, isn't he?
He managed about six episodes and it's already starting to, sorry about that, the microphone and they couldn't gain access to the studio. We're not doing it anymore.
But what was the reason why, I think I speak on behalf of Marcus and me, ask the question, why was he even there?
Because the WWE have done a lot of shows in Riyadh, so I presume it was some kind of, and bearing in mind, it's The Undertaker rather than Mean Mark Calloway, so it wasn't...
Sure, but...
It wasn't, it'll be a WWE
tie. He was
tie-in.
In his Undertaker, come out in tracksuit bottoms and a t-shirt. By the way, I happen to be The Undertaker, by the way.
What I'm trying to get at is, like, for example, in, say, the FA Cup final this year, or in the past or whatever, they may get someone to bring the trophy out who's, I don't know, like Kenny Dalglish or an old sage of the game.
Someone relevant to the trophy.
Well, it's relevant because they do an annual pay-per-view there every year, Crown Jewels, and he obviously was dropped on his head by one of a wrestler, quite famously.
Right, but it's nothing to do with football, is it?
It's still not relevant, though.
It's relevant in that they're clearly very close to the room.
What I would say to him is, I would say, if you can do 10 keepy-ups, you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There we are.
Yeah. There's your link.
He does some shows out there, so therefore he gets to present the trophy.
Exactly. Yeah.
He once almost shot a farmer with a. He once almost shot a farmer with a mounted gun from a helicopter during the Iraq skirmishes.
Right.
Is he out in it?
And he was very happy. He was very happy questions. Telling this story.
The same way Pete shouldn't be encouraging you in the Nations League.
Don't encourage me in wrestling.
The disappointing thing, Luke, is that you genuinely were more quizzical and interested about that than you were about the Nations League.
Yeah. Mm. What's your point?
Villa host Manchester United on Sunday.
All right, okay, fair.
It is a big one in the Premier League. Right. And presumably there'll be no wrestlers at this one, but you never know your luck. Mm. Villa's home form.
Thiago Silva's wife. Oh, no, that's Chelsea, isn't it? Yeah, sorry.
You're still marvelling at Chelsea's win at Aston Villa.
I am. Yeah, it's come from nowhere, didn't it?
It was a great win.
It was a great win.
Yeah, I feel it's home form. Yeah, I was going
to
say it's been
a great
win.
I just don't think we can... We don't have to do the game because it was a while ago now, but we cannot... I don't think it's fair for us as football fans to gloss over too much the Enzo Fernandez free kick, which is one of the best free kicks I've seen in ages.
Colin Gallagher's face was a picture, wasn't it?
Oh, you couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a brilliant... It must be frustrating because for Chelsea fans, because you kind of think, well, there's a performer. How come it's a bit more like that? You know,
sometimes they click, don't they?
All football fans talk about consistency.
Yeah.
It's not possible to have the kind of consistency... You know, unless you're Manchester City, or indeed vintage Liverpool under vintage sort of Klopp, that kind of era, if you like. But Chelsea, you know, and capable of that, because look at the players.
In some ways, it makes it worse, doesn't it? Because you kind of know you can do it.
But I mean, they'll be hugely encouraged from that. I mean, Pochettino said it was their best win of the season, which is not surprising.
Oh, because Aston Villa's home form has been just incredible for a long time.
That's right. I mean, they have lost their last two against Chelsea and Saudi Arabia's Newcastle United.
The Piff Posse.
Yeah.
The
Undertaker may well you know, go and watch contractually or something.
But Villa hadn't lost at home before that for almost a year or something in the league. It's
They've been brilliant. Well, they've got a chance to get back on the horse against Manchester United on Sunday. So, yes, I mean, again, with Manchester United, you never know which one of them is going to turn up, quite frankly. Now, this is interesting. We promised you a bit of Keys. Well, here it is. This week, Richard Keys has
claimed... Say it like a surprise. promised you about Richard
good
Keys.
Dessert.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't want to let people off the hook.
Yeah, there's a lot of hairs in this dessert.
We promised you prison time if you carried on like that.
Yeah.
Richard Keys has claimed that Jose Mourinho told him he wanted to be sacked by Manchester United back in 2018.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's benefiting from Richard Keys saying that?
Richard Keys. Exactly.
Who's benefiting from Richard Keys having the phone number of anyone? Anyway,
yeah, he might as well just say, everyone, I know Jose Mourinho personally. Yeah. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's like when I went through that Clint Hill phase. I just wanted to mention it all the time.
Yeah, how is old Clint doing?
Former QPR defender.
Give him a text.
I'm quite worried he's going to appear on Joe Barton's YouTube channel at some point.
Talking about you?
Yeah. No.
Where'd you get these views from, Clint?
But I mean, it's definitely worth Joe Barton setting fire to his whole life for about 13,000 YouTube subscribers, wasn't it?
I think so.
But I think I'm worried that Clint will pop up on it at some point because I know they're friends.
I heard from somebody that Joey Barton's doing this to help fund
ISIS?
No,
I was going to say a terrorist organisation.
Yeah.
Everyone dressed like Morrissey.
No. A friend of his is quite ill or there's something. And I thought, well, okay, that is a noble cause, but don't be a dick about it.
Just give me your money.
Say, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell loads of stories about being a footballer.
Some orphans are called, I'm going to set fire to a building.
Yeah, just next to them, and they get the heat from
it. One of my friends
is ill. I'm going to set back social relations in the UK by about 50 years in return.
Yeah. You wouldn't do that for me?
No, I wouldn't. Well, you do it yourself.
I'll do it myself.
Yeah, as a tribute to
that's
you.
That's how I got ill. I've been punched.
But who do we fancy for Villa versus Manchester United?
Villa look really patchy at the moment. They look really sort of their shape just looks all over the blooming place, Marcus. I'm worried about them.
Yeah, but I mean, so what did you notice then, other than the shape against Newcastle United? Just Newcastle United were quite ruthless, and Villa perhaps were a little bit toothless.
High line,
ruthless and toothless. Well, Aston Villa's back line has been so good overall this season, but they do look a little bit ragged. I mean, they had a lovely time of it at Bramall Lane, which, you know, they're very accommodating over there, aren't they, usually?
And very accommodating.
People can have a nice time if they want to. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think Pete's right. It's been a little bit more ragged. But look, it's only a couple of games. Very crowded
in the middle as well. They just need to spread out, lads. Yeah. Just get away from each other.
But there is a kind of silver lining to the cloud for Aston Villa, because of course the loss at home to Chelsea was a cup game.
Yeah,
Aston Villa got a realistic chance, and we're getting towards the business end now. There's not that many games left. They're getting to the point where they've got a real chance of getting into the top four. Cup run could, I know it sounds unromantic.
Well, they're still in Europe.
But, well, quite, they've got that as well, but the cup run could, it's just extra games, right?
I know what you mean. Nobody wants to go out of the cup, but as you say, there's a silver lining there. The thing is, we're talking about Villa looking, you know, in the last couple of games, or those specific games against Chelsea and against Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle aren't a bad side. You know, Chelsea can produce performances. Villa... We're 23 games in. They're 5 points off Liverpool at the top.
Exactly.
We can't forget that.
I just think that they look in, like, for 5 minutes that they've got complete control of every part of their game, And then 5 minutes later, they're just kind of losing it in weird positions. And I can't help but think it's a mentality thing at this point in the season.
Well, I mean,
mentality. They might pick it up.
I mean, yeah, I think that might be a tart charge. But the fact is, you know, the contrast that we see teams go on runs, you know, we've seen a few people.
Well, Man United are on a little mini run now themselves.
Bless them.
Yeah, good on them.
No, but you see teams who are not fancied, who are not used to being in these positions. And players who are not used to being in these positions. And then at some point, it kind of, I don't know, they get tired, or you just can't keep on winning. I mean, over in Spain, you've got Girona versus Real Madrid this weekend. Girona, like, this has come from nowhere. A bit like Leicester City, really, when they won the league. And you think, well, at some point, it's gonna drop off. And obviously with Leicester, it didn't. And we hope with Girona, it won't. But at some point, you know, people sort of, I don't know whether they, it's just too much. Whereas Villa, you know, they still are in the mix and still very, I mean, they're fourth for crying out loud.
And that's why this game is key, because it also depends on what Man United turns up. Because in the last four or five games, United have been fairly decent.
Yeah.
They, I was at the game at home to Spurs and they gave as good as they got there. Obviously came away from that with a draw. They had a tricky one at Newport, potential banana skin and all that stuff. Newport pegged them back and they got the job done. They came up the back of an absolute thriller against Wolves, showed a lot of gumption there to fight back after they got pegged back as well. Dispatched West Ham pretty easily. But you look at, say, a game at Villa Park, they might win that one just 1-0.
Yeah.
And then they might go to Luton and lose 3-0 and then lose at home to Fulham after that. You know, so it's really difficult to predict. But what Aston Villa need to do here is, if Donaldson's harsh on them, I think, but I understand why. And this game against Man United at home, which will have a lot of attention on it, will be on TV, and it's a chance for Villa to put themselves right, because at home they have been Susan Purb for so long.
Yeah.
It depends whether this is just a blip or they're starting to run out of steam. I don't see that they are starting to run out of steam personally. I think there's still more to come from them, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it does depend on which Manchester United turn up, because
100%.
We've seen Villa carve teams with moving the ball quickly, particularly from the back, you know, passing teams to death, and Watkins, who's still posting good numbers, you know, he's having a great time. And they've got goals in the team, Villa. Mm-hmm. You know, you just look at the goal difference in the Premier League. Obviously, you know, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal leading the way. Then it's Villa. Spurs are in there, and Newcastle. But, you know, their goal scoring has been impressive this season.
And Man United have only really started scoring goals in the league in any kind of number in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, they are. They're the lowest scorers in the world. I mean, you have to go all the way down to Bournemouth in 12th, you know. I mean, they were scoring goals in the Champions League, although they were conceding them, unfortunately, for them. But it was, you know, it was great fun for the neutral. So, yeah, I really do think... I think we could see a 3-0 Villa here. Or, as you say...
A 2-2.
Or other scores. But I'd like to see Villa get back on the wagon and thump them, quite frankly. I'd like to see it get back in the mix.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. What are Man United offering us this season, apart from a bit of comedy?
Yeah.
There's no point with Man United being...
A poor Man United is just great eating for us, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm afraid, I'm sorry to say, we are... You're the carrion.
What good is it for the Ramble if Man United just start quietly going about their business and eventually finish like fifth? There's no good about it.
Can't we just chuck in a fixture against FC Copenhagen and get things back
exactly.
on track?
Exactly.
That's what we're
back
about.
On track.
That's what we're about.
Can't we just personally ferry Marcus Rashford to another nightclub and enjoy that for a week?
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of back on track, Peter, Jesse Lingard obviously took your advice. He has officially signed for FC Seoul. We mentioned this the other day, but it's been official. He said apparently he has offers from 26 different clubs. He didn't say which leagues they were in.
Fucking list them.
I know.
You're a long time retired.
He also said that most of those offers were verbal.
Yeah.
Which is what, like just dropping a WhatsApp? Yeah, maybe.
Do you fancy it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But FC Seoul, the ones he went for, I think it's a great move.
They offered him a concrete offer on paper.
That's a confusing analogy. Very confusing.
It's quite heavy, this offer.
How do we fax machine that?
It's all right, it's rack concrete.
You've got to chip your signature into it.
Yeah.
I remember the rack crisis.
Exactly. It was a very long time ago, wasn't it?
That's all fixed now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
It should be fine. We look forward to
Old Trafford's made out of rack concrete, for sure.
Yes, everybody. Well, if you're into overseas matters, then the latest Ask OTC is out today. Dot and Andy are joined by Nicky Bandini, who explains how Roma are faring after Jose Mourinho's exit. Pretty good, it would seem.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
But most importantly of all, Andy gives us an update on how Fatty Terim is getting on at his new club, Panathinaikos. Weird to see him not in the Galatasaray or Turkey dugout.
And I think if you're not someone who knows enough about Fatty Terim,
get involved.
Get to know.
Yeah.
this is a man who is one of the most decorated managers in Turkish history, but is not above having a fight in a kebab house. Like, literally a fist fight in a kebab house. The man is a legend.
We've all done it.
Of the game. And Panathinaikos, who are known for their very balanced, chilled out demeanour, means it may well be a bloodbath.
That's right, yeah. And the Greeks and the Turks famously get on very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Search On the Continent in your podcast apps to find that. Now, big one on Saturday at 3 p.m. Luton Town versus Sheffield United. Luton Town have the fourth best record over the last six Premier League games after winning one in their first 12 games. They've turned it round. Rob Edwards said he would cringe if he watched back his side's opening few games.
Yeah.
Cringing. Millennials, man.
Yeah.
They're powered by the term cringe, aren't they?
I like cringe.
It's all they've got.
But I like this. I'll tell you why I like this, because he's learning and the club are adapting and they're, you know, relatively speaking, a small club and they're absolutely delighted to be in the Premier League and all that kind of patronising stuff that we have to say.
Aren't we all, mate?
But, you know, we cannot overlook how amazing they've been recently and how they've given themselves a real fighting chance of staying in the Premier League this season. As we sit here recording this, they're not in the relegation zone. I understand there's some other financial doings going on that may make that less possible.
Everton have helped them.
They have. But Luton are doing... Well, Sheffield United are basically doing what I suspect and feared Luton would do.
Yep.
And Luton are giving themselves a fighting chance. And I'll tell you what, if you're in that position as being promoted maybe a bit unexpectedly or a bit ahead of time or whatever, and you can't believe your luck, which is what it was like, that's what the scenes were like, you get into February, possibly going to March,
that's right,
and you've still got a fighting chance. That is an amazing credit to them. And I think the form of Ross Barkley has been really important, because what we also talked about at the start of the season, and I think, you know, we don't get many things right on this show because that's not what this show's about.
Yeah.
But one thing we did get right is we talked about how they were desperate for some serious Premier League experience. And Ross Barkley's given them that.
Yep.
And he's given them a big lift from what I can see. And my only regret is that we don't get to watch this one on telly, because I think it could be a really good one. I think Luton, there's every chance that, because Chris Wilder's now in danger of going off the reservation, just getting angry at everything all the time, I wonder whether they're starting to lose their discipline at Sheffield United, and Luton can make hay out of that. I wouldn't be surprised if Luton won this one pretty handily, actually.
If you were the referees for this one, you think Wilder's going to come in and have a go at us at some point. Quickly.
Get your sandwiches out.
No, I have it all decked out, like a three-course meal. Like the whole works.
Or turkey leg.
You walk past the referee's office as Chris Wilder walks out again fuming, and all you hear from the side is the referee going, It's a wrap! It's not even a sandwich! It's a meal deal wrap from Tesco!
Yeah. I think down, napkins tucked into the necks.
Yeah, I love that.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come and join us, Chris.
Yeah.
Have a bit of hummus.
What did he expect? Oi,
that would infuriate hummus, wouldn't it? Wilder doesn't want the hummus.
Baba ganoush?
Yeah. Where's the Thousand Island bit? Where's the ketchup? Where's the fucking Coleman's?
Oh dear. Yeah, I get on that, refs.
Yeah.
But you're right though. I mean, and Luton, what has been really good about Luton is they play quite direct, but not in a kind of they just hit it long. But I think they've kind of worked out that Adebayo's got goals in him. Just get the ball to him.
Yeah, and I also love...
Just get it up there.
I also love a team, and look, we can talk about possession all we like and talk about how we play. You've obviously got to play to your strengths.
Exactly.
I love a team who respects the scraps.
Yeah.
Get it up there and get the scraps.
Yeah.
Feed off the scraps.
But that's the thing, though, Luke, is that sometimes teams, if they're just about the scrap and that's how they set their stall out, that worked. That worked a lot. The statistics up until only a few seasons ago, whenever it was, were quite... Well, I would say damning to the league, because basically, if you launched it long and you played really direct, that would be the team who stayed up. The others who'd maybe tried to play their way out.
And they'd be seen as naive and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right?
Now, that's kind of changed now a little bit. And I was delighted that Fulham stuck to their guns when they came up. Although Fulham, you know, they've got a few quid, and also Marcus Silva's a very good manager. So slightly different. But Luton have come up. And I think it has been a case of, right, as you say, let's play to our strengths now. Let's stop pissing around. And again, that's not it. There's no disrespect in that at all. But sometimes you've got to do that. You've got to stay in the league. And I think sometimes you just stay in the league, and then you can start to build the nets. You can attract more players. You got a few quid more.
And then you're Brentford.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Yeah, no, it is.
Brentford are a great example. No, because I was struggling to think of one, and there's an obvious one that you pull out the bag there.
Neither of these teams want the ball. Between them, on average, of about 37% possession every game.
Yeah.
But what is really telling and backs up your point is that both of them are in the top five for aerial duels won.
Yeah.
Right? So they focus on what they're good at.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to pick up those scraps. The ball comes up, it comes away into a 50-50, or someone has a flick on, or someone wins a header, and you pick up the scraps.
Yeah.
Look, it's
he's got a game of the system. If that works, right?
You can't all be Brighton.
When they went on that, obviously, most of the season has been a bit of a run of losses. Like, they've only lost twice more than one goal, by more than one goal.
Have so they it's really? Like, Who's so Luton?
Like, yeah, I think Villa
fucking
and someone
definitely
else.
Not Sheffield United.
So that's what they were never getting hammered. It was demoralising because, you know, we were turning up to kind of the road and watching them lose every week. But, like, they weren't getting absolutely taken apart.
They've lost once. No, in fact, I don't think they've lost at all this calendar year.
Yeah.
Their last defeat was on the 30th of December, Luton.
Good stuff, good
so
time.
So it's
to
the right
good,
time to get cracking on with it.
Good
it's
time
it,
to get good.
Exactly, yeah. And again, you say they hardly ever, you know, get hammered, or we can compare that to Sheffield United. It's so demoralising. So, yeah, we're very much looking forward to that one, as you say. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got Brighton versus Spurs, a Derek Adams update, and Keggy has got a new gig. See you in a minute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You know, I've left a team down in League Two that's miles better than this team. Miles. That's saying something. You know, we had the bottom budget in League Two and we're 100 times better than this.
The way he says miles.
Yeah.
Miles!
Miles.
The clarity of the microphone work as well.
That's
it
good.
Makes it worse.
Very good. Well, somehow. Peter, we're going to talk about Derek Adams and microphones in Scotland in just a moment. We just got to get this old tosh out of the way. Spurs versus Brighton on Saturday at 3 p.m. Now, Spurs haven't lost in the Premier League since losing 4-2 at Brighton back in December. It's Luton Town-esque.
Yeah, I mean, they've navigated it pretty well, Spurs, because they've lost players to injury, they've lost key players, and they've lost players to Africa Cup of Nations as well, and obviously Asia Cup too. And Yves Bissouma and Son Heung-min are both going to be back in contention, I think, for this game, which is a good thing for them, of course. I thought people were a bit over the top about their draw at Old Trafford, because... You know, United have been inconsistent, and you know, I thought they played well, but they didn't get the win. And it's not that difficult to win at Old Trafford these days if you're a good team. But what moves the dial as well a bit here is the fact that De Zerbi is on a ban, isn't he?
Mm.
So, and given how much he kind of likes to actively coach his side.
He's not bothered, though.
Is he not? What did he say?
He said the yellow card was right. I forgot with another yellow card, I can't be on the bench at Tottenham, but my players can play without their coach there.
Well, don't say that too often, because you'll get out of a job.
Don't need it.
The owners are thinking, that's a saving. That is a saving.
In this FFP world.
That can get us a year extension for Pascal Gross.
Yeah, that saves us a bit of money and you chipping off at us every now and then. So great. No, obviously it would be rather ridiculous if he was sacked.
It's rare to see a manager actually admit that the yellow card is right, though. You know what I mean? Like, you rarely kind of get that. You sort of, something off.
Only Big Ange, really. Yeah. Big Ange is the most honest one, isn't he?
He's up there.
He pipes up and says,
"Has he had many yellows?"
Do you think he's?
He's had one or two. Yeah.
Right?
Do you think he's doing this, and then he's just going to come out with an absolute whopper?
Oh yeah.
And we're going to go
straight on Barton's podcast.
Always been. Yeah. He's not doing that. And that would be great, though. He would just twist him up, wouldn't he? Where were we?
I was going to say it's an interesting matchup. This, because the other reason I was just going to bring to the table is that, on one hand you've got fullbacks at Spurs that like to get forward, and I think Destiny Adogi is a better defender than Pedro Porro, but they both like to get forward. And
Adogi's been brilliant this
season.
He has
been fantastic. Porro leaves a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
He leaves a lot of gaps behind him.
Yeah, but I quite enjoy seeing him herring back. There's something about his run that I enjoy.
Oh,
so I'm all for
that. Do you know what he's a bit like? And this is a compliment to him. He's a bit like Kyle Walker. He loves to attack, but he massively relies on his recovery pace.
Yeah.
And because he's got Mickey van de Ven there, who is like one of the fastest defenders I've ever seen.
Speaking of recovery
pace. Yeah, it's incredible. But what is really interesting as well is the idea that we didn't cover it much, because I think the timing of the game and the other games we had to talk about. But when Spurs went to Goodison Park and got that 2-2 draw.
Yeah. They say got that.
Everton pegged them back.
Yeah.
Because they were really physical in the penalty area on Vicario, who seems like a really good keeper.
He's got to get on the weights, though.
But he's not.
He's got to.
Morrissey could
weights.
Eat the guy and not have a stain on his conscience, as they say. And so I want. But Brighton aren't really the type of team to target them in that
could
way.
Could you
are
eat
they?
Him? Too many bones. It'd just be all
very,
bone.
Very bony. Would be like having a really, really big chicken wing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But Brighton aren't the kind of team to.
Would you want to be a chicken thigh?
Yeah, you do.
You
yeah.
want to be the thigh.
Can I just make this point really quickly? It's about football.
I'm just thinking about
Brighton.
Are you hungry?
Brighton aren't the kind of team to kind of play in that way, though, are they?
No.
It's only Man City that keeps the ball more than them in the Premier League.
We never know, though. I mean, if you see another side do it, you think to yourself, well, actually, hang on. Maybe we could do something with that. Get our Welbs on him. Get Welbs into him. Yeah, I mean, quite possibly.
Is Welbs that guy? I think Welbs might be that guy.
Oh, where's
Spurs? All them guys.
Where's Spurs? I think so. Yeah, I mean, so. Son Heung-min and Yves Bissouma are back from international duty.
I don't like to see Son's kind of weepy Instagram posts about coming home from the Asian Cup.
They were on for it, though. They were on for that tournament. They were the best team on paper left in
but
that
then
tournament.
They dug out.
Do you know what? Klinsmann's staying on.
He's not.
He said, "Don't worry, guys. I've had some texts with Son, and he's going to stay on."
And everyone's like, "Which one are you again?"
Yeah.
I mean, we've never met you. What are you talking about?
He started talking. Do you know what he's got his eyes on? Clearly,
yeah,
the World Cup in the US.
Oh, of course.
You know they've got games in California, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh,
so
right.
he fancies it.
But I also
New
think
Jersey World Cup final.
Son's also probably a little bit worried that while he's in England the whole time, old Jesse Lingard's going to steal his thunder as the most popular footballer in South Korea.
Could be.
Maybe.
Lingard will be on the notes out there.
Jaylings. Yeah.
I think Son. You would imagine he would start this game.
I don't know what kind of shape he's in.
Interesting thing is that Richarlison's form. Of late has been pretty good, you know.
It's been brilliant.
Goals.
It's been excellent.
Yeah, and with Son being away, you know, he's stepped up. Although he was already doing that in December, he was chipping in with some goals.
They've got a really good team now, Mark. Because you look at it from front to back, and you go, okay, well, the front four's not too bad. Because if they play Richarlison, Son, Maddison, and Kulusevski, you think that front four's not bad. Then you look at Bentancur and Saar behind them, decent.
Yeah,
the chaos merchant has got to Germany. So.
Yeah,
well, there you go. There you are.
And Romero is the only. I mean, Romero's brilliant as well.
Mm.
Really important for how they play, but obviously he's brain dead. But other than that, they're pretty solid. You know, pretty decent team.
Like,
you wouldn't be surprised if you saw that team on paper and they come third in the league. You go, okay, yeah, that's about.
Romero's on the blue cards, isn't he?
Big time.
Let's give him one at the start.
He is absolutely. I mean, he's had more blue cards than the fucking game of Uno.
If I was Ange, I'd try and cut a deal with the refs and go, can he just start after 10 minutes? That's just fine. He gets his warm up in, there's no chance of injury.
If he pleads guilty, well, could he have 5 minutes?
We're not far off from that, you know.
Nah, exactly,
we're not far off from that. I know what you mean. I think that Spurs now have got a you know, get back into the kind of form that we saw at the start of the season.
Yeah,
and they know that more than anybody. They've had a few players missing. They've had a few injuries, like everybody else, et cetera, et cetera. But Maddison was key at the start. They're back in there now. And I think we could see a Spurs surge.
We could do.
Yeah, I think we could. Right then, Derek Adams, everybody. The man
Derek Adams.
Who has been moaning ever since he got to Ross County. So, yeah, I mean...
doing nothing for the reputation of Scottish people, being moaners.
This lot are absolute shite. I was managing a pub team in England.
He's resigned now, right?
He's gone.
In what has culminated in the greatest Scottish cameo since Sean Connery in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It really
Spoiler.
Has. It really has. 1994's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I think it was 91, was it?
Was it?
Was he King Richard? King Richard, right?
Yeah. The Lionheart, yeah. With that English accent of his.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the accents in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Can we? Look, I enjoyed it at the time, but I watched it fairly recently, and it was... I mean,
don't say that.
It was tough to stick with it.
Come on,
that's a diplomatic way of saying it.
At least Christian Slater had a go.
Yeah, I just thought to myself. Yeah,
I tell you,
Christian Slater's quite good in it.
What's his name? McShane.
Ian McShane.
No, Mike.
Mike McShane.
Praise Fryer Tuck.
Does it? I don't know who that is.
Is it Mike McShane?
Who the hell plays Fryer Tuck?
I'll Google it, mate.
Who the hell plays Fryer Tuck?
Canadian.
Oh, he's absolutely right.
This better be a lead into the Nottingham Forest.
He is called Mike McShane.
Yeah, there you are. He was often on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Of course he was, right.
Yeah. As they all were.
There you go, Mike McShane. You want to see a picture of him?
I need a picture.
There you go.
There you are. He did a good accent in that.
Fucking clue.
Christian Slater was decent in that.
Yeah.
And I like that everything they do it for us.
Yeah.
But it was tough to stick with it.
Oh, how dare you. Anyway, it's watching the A-Team again. Why did I do this?
Derek Adams.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was his
writer
third.
Writer of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It was his third managerial stint at the club, only lasted 12 games. They're 11th in the league, the same position they were in when Adams started. So, yeah, a bit of consistency.
But they were, I mean, let's be fair.
Yeah.
They were shit before he turned up. And his tactic of essentially publicly digging them out and making an embarrassment of himself and the club for the entire time he was there was, I would say, and it's not me after timing, quite a high risk strategy.
Yeah. When has this ever worked?
It's not worked. It's not worked.
Like rinsing the players never worked. Never worked.
I can't think of a time when it. I mean, you might.
If there's 20 of them. There's only one of you.
You might better get one or two. So, for example, you've been doing well, and it was a really shitty performance, out of character, and you go, "That's fucking rubbish."
Yeah.
You're much better than that. That might work.
Right.
You can't just start going, the teams that you've managed before are 100 times better than this current lot of shit and say it publicly. But you can't do that.
Yeah, but we want a bit of honesty, do we not?
I like it. It's good. It's the absolute apotheosis of what's good for your club isn't good for the Ramble.
Yeah. Which manager was it in Scotland? I forget who it was now. Who was asked about his him leaving the club, and they were like, "Oh, what do you think?" And he went, "Because they're a club who are around you in the league, you know, near you." And he just went, "I'm gutted." And they're like, "Why? Because you think they'll improve?" And he goes, I can't say anymore now. Taking the piss. Basically, like, I wanted him to stay because it would help our cause. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But
a bit of solidarity among managers.
Absolutely right, yeah. Derek Adams said, over my 12 games in charge, we moved 6 points clear of the team directly below, and I've been extremely close to gaining more victories and
pretty
draws.
Thin grill,
no. We've been extremely close to gaining more victories and draws along the way.
Especially
we've lost them.
Yeah, especially what we said about Luton earlier, but not really, because it's them.
Indeed, yeah. Elsewhere in Scotland, Peter, let's have something a bit more positive for Scottish football. Hearts boss Stephen Naismith. Now, he's in charge of one of the biggest clubs in the land, I would argue. He was interviewed by a man recording it on a shattered mobile phone with an orange peel wrapped around it.
I am team whichever journalist this was.
So, could I just tell people a little bit of technical information to make this contextual? So, when you're interviewing someone with a mic and it's going to be quite windy or whatever, you might need a pop shield, and it's normally like a little muff or something like that.
Yeah.
The guy has clearly gone for a process where he's gone, this isn't going to be listenable unless I use some kind of shield.
I need a muff.
And he's in the middle of eating an orange. The photo is extraordinary.
It's not an orange.
It is extraordinary. It's an orange peel.
It's an orange mic muff.
It's an orange mic muff,
and it may very well be concealing a pretty decent iPhone connected microphone. So until I see the demuffed mic, I am team journalist for me.
Don't say D.
It's an orange peel.
It's not an orange peel. Why would he put an orange peel on there? You wouldn't be able to hear
let's
anything.
Let's have a look.
It would sound like this.
I'm fucking Fox Mulder. I want to believe. I want to believe here.
I'm not sure it is an orange peel, but someone's taken a bite out of that Mike Muff.
Is that a dangling leg?
Because it's someone at
tell
some
us
point.
How your mum doesn't know. Oi, that guy.
To be fair, though, if you are in a job where you've got to interview professional footballers and managers, should he have a better iPhone than that?
Presentation is everything, I would say, yeah. It doesn't fill you with confidence.
He could have dropped it, though, just on the way to doing the interview.
Could have, yeah. He's got it.
And he picked it up as well as an orange peel off the floor.
I think it's fine. I think that journalist in question should and will probably reveal what it actually was.
I like that he just took one look at Stephen Naismith and thought, he needs some vitamin C.
I get this.
Squeeze one of them in his face.
We all do in Britain.
Yeah.
We all do.
It's vitamin D that you've got to take between October and March. Yeah. I take it every morning.
That do
you?
Well.
Oh, yeah. Effervescent tablet.
Figure of elf.
Plonk it in a bottle.
Yeah, that's why you look
you
so sun-kissed. Crying.
You had a fucking packet of fruit pastels for breakfast.
I did, vitamin D. There you go.
Fruit pastels aren't one of your faults.
I'm not a figure of elf either.
Doesn't matter how many of you eat.
Yeah, but it says fruit. Yeah. Right.
We both turned up to the Ramble with colds recently. We're terribly unwell.
Let's get off this nonsense and talk about Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
This time, everybody, he's hosting an event for his former club, Scunthorpe United, in a used car showroom.
Yay.
You know,
how many cars is he going to be sold that night?
This is quite a niche one, but you know, in have you seen the scene in Wayne's World where Garth gets the paint stripping gun, the car garage, and accidentally takes the paint off that car?
Right,
that's Keegan.
That's Keegan.
He's going to think it's a mic. He's going to start talking into it, and he's going to lose control of it and shatter a windscreen, strip the paint off some really expensive car.
Yep. He's going to electrocute himself with an electric car. The car. We didn't even give him anything with petrol in.
I've read that this is happening at Marshall approved used.
That's right.
Which is a used car company.
Yeah.
That's where I bought my last car from.
And Marshall approved used.
I'm viewing this in very, very dim light.
Yeah.
I think this is a very, very interesting decision from them.
He's not going to be doing this in a car park. So it's going to be
obviously
inside the dealership. There's no floor space. It's all made up with cars, surely. So he's just going to be like banging his leg on cars with a microphone.
Well, apparently, according to the announcement of Marshall approved.
Speaking into an orange peel.
Oh, my face. Oh, it was a pineapple. apparently, the showroom will undergo a full makeover to welcome the former Scunthorpe, Liverpool, Newcastle United, and England legend, forgot Southampton there, of football.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've had a full makeover. They're going to regret that.
I don't mind this kind of era of Kevin Keegan, apart from the well-publicised comments about women commentators. He has, like...
Joe Barton stole this thunder there.
Yeah, really got away with that one. Yeah. But I just do sort of think that, like, people have such a low opinion about, like, corporate speaking and stuff like that. I mean, Kevin Keegan is a very talented man.
But why is he doing it? Is he not? He must have made his dough.
He made an ungodly amount of money.
But I don't know.
Just from Newcastle United shirts.
He's got a lot of failed businesses behind him, though, hasn't he?
The Clown College.
And a massive planning permission issue around his extension on his house, which cost him a lot of money.
Look, I should be able to afford
that.
I've absolutely no issue at all. Why on earth would anybody have an issue? I just love the events he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Look, the IT industry event.
The Meat Management Awards was the best.
I would have loved. Dream situation to have half a year on Radio 1 and you just spend the rest of your year, the rest of your time, just doing corporate. Just doing corporate speaking.
You think
just
doing I'm
corporate
thinking.
Presenting. Fish round.
Yeah, bacon round.
Well, we
because you're locked into people's nostalgia, then, aren't you? From something that like
he knows.
Do
what he's
6 months on TVM, and you can just eat for the rest of your life.
Is it not a bit depressing?
No, everything's depressing.
Marcus. Everything's depressing.
Everything's depressing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've been the football ramble.
I think the reason it's funny is because of the sheer exalted nature of his career and the things he achieved and the things he did. Like, genuinely one of the world's best players.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do that and you, in your retirement, you're doing things like the Meat Industry Awards.
From the Ballon d'Or to the British International Freight Association.
Exactly. Yeah. It just seems like a bit of a juxtaposition, doesn't it?
But it was a long time ago, the Ballon d'Or. You know, we're talking about his heyday was, what, 70s?
Yeah. Freight never ends.
And Pele used to do everything, didn't he? Exactly. Pele would do everything.
Yeah, and Keegan's picking up where Pele left off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fritz had a big couple of years.
If Keegan turned his hair into diamonds like Pele managed to do. By the way, if that's possible, should we all be doing that?
Yeah. I would love to I'd love to go to one of these. Yeah, I'd happily go as a punter.
Mate, you know where it is?
Yeah. I'm not going to Scunthorpe, to be fair, but if it's one a bit closer to home, I will go.
There's no way he's happening around here. Anyway, right, everybody, we've got a massive one on the weekend. It's the AFCON final between Nigeria and Ivory Coast. I mean, that's box office. Absolutely box office. Nigeria
it's VAR office. Well, a lot of VAR office.
Indeed it was. But VAR was used correctly, Peter.
It was used correctly.
See, no one ever goes, right, hang on, let's talk about VAR because they've got that absolutely spot
on. It's a bit
on.
Weird though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's a bit weird?
Well, there's definitely a penalty. There's a right decision, but it's weird the way football comes to these decisions now does feel odd.
So this is in context with Nigeria playing South Africa in the semi-final and Nigeria won 4-2 on pens after the 1-1 draw. With a few minutes remaining, Nigeria... There's a suggestion of a foul in their own box that they foul one of the South African players. They got the other end and Osimhen scores. Yeah. So they celebrate as if, well, we're through now.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's dragged by the VAR, penalty given, 1-1, and they have to go through on penalties. But they did.
And the thing is, for the first Nigeria goal, I think it was, that was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yes. And I don't know what he's doing.
Ronwen Williams, who was the hero of the round before.
Couldn't get near him.
He let in one of the softest penalties I've ever seen during the game itself. Mm. It went right under him, about 2 miles an hour. He had to save it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it felt like a really kind of, it just felt like a massive letdown after his heroics before. And they've gone out effectively partly because of that. So it's just a bit of a shame, really.
Yeah, I mean, but they've done better than what they would have thought, South Africa.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
But it's funny though, because it's been a great tournament. There's been so many stories, you know, Mauritania. I mean, the scenes when they returned home was fantastic. You know, Cape Verde have been a story as well.
Well, Ivory Coast are in the final. They've been linked with Sol Bamba.
Well, they have. Sol Bamba says he fancies it after the tournament. He's like, we haven't got a manager, have we?
He's currently assistant at Cardiff, I think, at the moment.
Is he still there?
I think he's assistant there,
He certainly was. I don't know if he's still there or not, but he fancies it. The former Cardiff, Leeds and Hibs man.
Yeah.
Dunfermline as well.
Don't forget that.
Don't forget
that. Double check he's still at Cardiff City. I think he is.
Well, anyway, but the thing is though, like Nigeria, obviously big side. You know, on paper again, they've got one of the best teams. But Ivory Coast themselves, you know, what a story they've
amazing
had.
Story. And it's also quite interesting that we've ended up with quite from at the outside looking in quite a quote unquote traditional final.
But I think I do you know what? I think that's probably what people want ultimately, because when you do have a final, say I don't know, like Portsmouth versus Cardiff, you know, who's bothered by that, Luke?
Yeah. I was, but I understand the point.
No, but I think people love an underdog story, but I think people just sort of think, all right, get to the semi-finals and then we want the big boys in the final.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what most neutrals want when it comes to cup competitions. You love the underdog stuff. Mm. Unless maybe
you want two underdogs in the final.
Yeah, you want an underdog and maybe a big boy and the underdog wins or something like that. Like Wigan versus Man City.
Right. Unless you're Nottingham Forest, you just really desperately want your players back.
Fulham as well, don't forget Alex Iwobi.
I wish I could forget Fulham, but you never let me.
How dare you?
It's now time for Ramble's Acca with Betfair. The football season is well and truly underway with Betfair, of course, and if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further, because Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your Acca this football season. And you can celebrate this weekend with a completely free Acca or bet builder on the football. So today we're building an Acca of 4 match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Marcus, you are first up. Just to let you know, you've got your last two picks incorrect, so you want to win this week to avoid an unwanted hat trick. And your overall record is a very respectable 13 out of 23 correct so far. Who have you gone for?
I think they need a win, and they're due a good performance. Fulham to beat Bournemouth.
Yeah, okay, so Fulham do most of their best work at home, don't they? Mm. They're a bit of a homer team, really. Yeah. So you can kind of see where you're going with that. Peter, you are on for a hat-trick of correct picks and plot twist, everyone. 7 out of 13 correct, so you've gone way over the 50% mark now.
Right.
You could get 3 in a row. Who have you gone for here?
I'm going for Newcastle United versus Forest, or rather Forest versus Newcastle United. And I think Newcastle are going to win this one. Anthony Gordon, rumoured to be back. Forest are... bit of a basket case at the moment.
Yeah.
I think Newcastle are going to win quite handsomely here.
So you've backed your beautiful boys to do the job for you. Jim is up next. He, of course, isn't here, so he's recorded a voice note for us. But before I get Pete to press it, I want to let you all know that Jim has got 9 out of 22 correct, which I think is the poorest record so far.
Right.
He's looking to put that right, of course. So here's what he had to say.
Hello, this is Jim. I am going to go for Aston Villa to beat Man United on Sunday at 4:30. You might go, well, that's outrageous. Man United have been pretty good lately. But that's exactly why I think Villa will probably win, because, as we know, this is what this Man United team do. So, I'm going to go for Aston Villa to win against Man United on Sunday.
Jim has gone for Aston Villa to beat Man United. As you hear, he introduced himself there, so we knew who he was,
yes.
Even though he got the big build-up. My pick, I want a hat-trick as well.
Ooh.
I've got last two correct, and I've got 11 out of 17, which is a pretty good record, I think. I've gone Gags, Boys, Wolves to beat the Bees. Mm. I think if you get into a fight between some Wolves and some Bees, of course, it depends on the amount of both animals involved.
They're getting your fur. Ooh.
Yeah, but the Bees dies as soon as it stings.
Yep. True.
The Wolves are going to be able to tough that out, I think. So I think Gags, Boys will do the business. So in summary, we've gone for Fulham to beat Bournemouth, Newcastle to win at Nottingham Forest, Aston Villa to beat Man United, and Wolves to beat Brentford. A £10 bet with Betfair, and that returns £180. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've raised a colossal £540 already this season. That's an incredible amount of money, which will do an incredible amount of good for a really, really important charity. So that's great. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. You know the drill by now, guys. Any bets that are winning at 90 but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Rambalaka every week. Opt-in required and previous deposit required. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, this is Jim.
Dean Smith also says we're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. It's a simple game of categories, ooh, Jack Grealish. If you go too slow, you're going to be hearing an orgasm.
Before we get stuck into this, there's been a developing rivalry between Marcus and I in this game. Marcus always wins. I'm the underdog.
Yeah.
I put a tweet out at the start of the show today. Saying it's in the form of a poll, saying if you're a Ramble listener, would you describe yourself as a member of the Luke Nation or Marcus Mount? And we've got some really good replies.
Well, we know who's won because he's reading it out.
To be fair, I would have read it out anyway. We've got some good replies there saying it's very close, the Nation is torn. Got a root for the Luke Nation, got a root for the underdog.
Nation just sounds a bit too, I don't know, like important, like civil rightsy, you know what I mean?
Some people said I'm Peak's patriarchy.
Yes.
Some people said I'm Andy's anarchy.
Yeah.
Some people said I'm a man of the bat like Vish. So it's a broad church.
Yeah.
I like Don Harrington, who said I'm part of Andy's big brass band.
Nice.
Which is nice. But the results are in.
Ooh.
And it is an absolute landslide for the Luke Nation.
Yeah, cool.
Who's won the poll with a colossal 50.9%. On my own Twitter feed.
That is damning.
How many people got involved in that?
We've got 839 votes so far.
He's taken a high, Marcus.
Is that not a recount if it's so close?
At one point, someone took a screenshot.
Statistical anomaly.
Someone took a screenshot at one point. It was 52-48, which
I'm going to go and vote on there now.
Yeah. I might do that as well, see if we swing it. Right, we're going to kick things off with you, Marcus, if that's all right, because you won last time.
Okay.
It's not pretty fair, is it? It's not fair, but there we go.
Okay.
Okay. First round. Neil Warnock returned to management this week,
and we
all know the story that when he became Middlesbrough manager, there was coincidentally a new flight path open from Newquay near his Cornish home up to the northeast.
Incredible.
Can you name every destination served by Cornwall Airport in Newquay?
Oh my goodness.
There are 18.
Can I choose geography, please?
Is it just cities?
It's airports.
So, where
can you fly from Newquay?
From Newquay. No, from Cornwall Airport in Newquay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stipulate.
Do I stipulate airport or city, sorry?
Airport, please. Oh. As discussed.
I don't think it matters if you name the airport. I mean, you name the airport, but you know.
Most of them do most of them do kind of. Just choose.
London City Airport.
Very nice guess.
Oh,
this is massive for me now.
Too cheap. London City's like your Amsterdams of this world. Maybe a New York if you're lucky.
I'm just going to go.
Are you not going New York from London City?
Yeah, you are.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to go Gatwick.
Come on.
Please. Yes!
Correct.
Oh, no.
It's a point for the nation. That's massive.
We are the nation of domination.
And I get to go first the next time.
Here we go.
Right, come on.
Okay, you ready?
For the 50.9%.
I'm pumped. For the majority, the silent majority.
What you could have gone for.
Yeah.
Delicious round.
Yeah.
Alicante, Belfast, Copenhagen, Dublin, Dusseldorf, East Midlands, Edinburgh, Faro in Portugal, Glasgow, Guernsey, Scilly Isles, Malaga, Stansted, Manchester, Newcastle, Zurich, and your friend of mine, of course, Aberdeen.
I'm impressed with that.
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
What a great range.
For the hashtag content, you probably should have gone Aberdeen there.
Mm. I should have done. Yeah.
Never mind. You live in London.
Oh, well. In tribute to them making the final of the Africa Cup of Nations, give me every Ivory Coast player who's made more than 10 appearances in the Premier League. There are 30 of them, and I need you to give us the beginning of this round to Lukey Moore.
Okay.
Ivory Coast player.
Yeah.
More than 10 appearances in the Premier League, and there are 30 of them.
Okay. I'm not going to let Marcus have Didier Drogba, so I'm going to go for that.
Okay. Correct.
I'll have Yaya Toure.
You can have Yaya Toure.
I'll go for your friend of mine, Cheick Tiote.
He's in there.
I'll have Kolo Toure.
Oh, good. So why I didn't go for that.
Again, off and goal. Grealish at Linekers.
I'll go for Willy Bolly.
Willy Bolly.
I'll go for Sol Bamba.
Sol Bamba.
I'll go for Ibrahima Sangare.
Ooh.
Nottingham Forest.
Ooh. He's got it.
Solomon Kalou.
Oh, you fucking bastard. That's the last one I had. That's the last one I had in my brain. Damn.
Talented players on this list. Good God.
Ah, God.
I'm going to hear Gary Neville.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Wilfred Zaha.
Oh, you love it.
Oh,
love
from
it.
Nowhere.
Sebastian Allaire.
Oh, man, he's killing me here. He's absolutely killing me.
Oh, hello.
He's killing me dead. And we had a conversation about him earlier as well, which is annoying.
We certainly did.
I can't think of anyone now. It's going to be guest. This is guest territory. Abdoulaye Doucouré. I can't think of anyone. Marcus
wins.
Serge Aurier.
Correct. Yeah. Well done.
We did okay though. That's
we
tough.
We did all right. Was it Runa Dindan? One. Was he Ivor Aurier?
He played for Portsmouth.
Was he one?
Yes.
I think he was.
He was there. Yeah. I thought you were going to get
that. Zakora, Aboué, Baye, Jovinho, Kamara, Demel.
Lots of players.
Bakayoko. It's millions.
One thing I've noticed in this game is that when the answers are read out, it's really easy to remember.
Yeah.
Kone, Pepe.
Yeah.
Nicola Pepe.
All of them.
Yeah, good.
I won't go through all of them.
No.
Boney.
It's one each then.
Boney.
All right. Round three. The Champions League last 16 returns next week. So what are the top 20 all-time appearance makers in Champions League history? The Champions League last 16 returns next week. I didn't want to be in it anyway. So what are the top 20 all-time appearance makers in Champions League history? There are 20 answers. And Marcus, I need one from you.
I know this sounds ridiculous. Players, obviously.
Players, yeah. Yes.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's a controversial one. Mm-hmm. How about Lionel Messi?
Leo.
I will have Sergio Ramos.
Sergio Ramos.
Gotta be.
Correct.
Raul.
Raul.
Zinedine Zidane.
Good.
I'm certainly not as confident.
He's got to be in there.
Oh,
this is massive!
This is an open.
This could
goal.
Be the win for the 51.1%.
Surely you've got to get this.
Iker Casillas.
Surely that's the win.
Well done.
There it is.
Yes! It's done! You have finally got it!
Oh no, he's up out of his seat.
He's
oh
gone.
My God.
He's gone. He's out of there.
He's away.
Iniesta, Seedorf, Piqué, Buffon, Benzema, Neuer, Modric, Scholes, Carlos Giggs. Busquets, Müller, Kroos, Xavi, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Really?
Done a few clubs, Ibra, hasn't he?
He has done a few clubs. Yeah,
He's done them.
Oh, well, there we are. Luke Moore wins, everybody, which means we all lose.
I'm back on Luke Moore! Aston Villa are rubbish.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join the three of us tomorrow for the mailbag. Follow us on X, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. The gate's staying closed. There's no weekend, everybody.
If you spray your Nalgene over us, we'll be very upset.
Oh, it's massive.
You got a new Nalgene?
Guy. it's the best weekend for ages.
It's a shame. Who would have thought Zinedine Zidane would have stitched me up like that?
I'm not doing the mailbag. I'm
leaving.
Do join us for the mailbag, where no doubt Luke will be still full of cheer.
Yeah.
Now, well done, Luke Moore. You hang on in there.
Yes. Is that the title, by the way?
You've got it.
It's the Lineal title.
Actually, no, don't we need three people?
No way.
Yeah,
no,
I think
way.
We need three people.
It's the title. Where's the belt? Give me the belt. Oh, I've kept pretty quiet up till now, guys.
No, you haven't.
Fucking massive news for the Luke Nation, this. The Discord's going to be popping off.
Do you know what? I never thought that Pitbull would say, stop the party, but I think he has.
Don't make me go and get my keys from the other office.
The keys are in the lock. The weekend's open. It's a bad start, but I'm sure everyone can pick yourself up and look forward to that AFCON final on Sunday evening.
Yes.
And all the Premier League crap that happens before it. All right. Thank you very much, Luke Aaron Moore.
No, thank you. The title. Believe it.
Well done.
I'm on holiday soon as well.
Well done, Luke.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye bye.
Thank you, everybody. See you for the mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.